From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and we are doing it out in a remote location outside Placerville, I think. Is that where we're at?
Yeah
so it's like I was late, so I apologize, but we are here with the Mayfield family. They are Subsea Systems, which is really one of the most innovative companies in our region. And, you know, this is a 10-year anniversary of the Mark Haney Show. And Scott and I were talking about, like, who have been the best guests ever, the best stories ever that have been on the show. We need to try to feature them again. And so we are back here with the Mayfield family. And Jim Mayfield, you are the patriarch of the family. And this is a family business going back. You have the third generation here alongside you.
Yeah.
And prior to that, was it your dad that was one of the founders?
No, it's actually the second generation.
Oh, it's a second generation.
Say, we do have a third generation because the grandkids, I see one of them is driving the forklift.
Okay,
around,
I remember there was a third generation. So how old? Okay, so I want to find out about the business, but I also want to make sure that we dive into the family dynamics. I think we were just talking about our family, so we're all family people. And that's one of the things I think that struck me in meeting you and Hannah specifically. And then when I met the rest of the family, I was just blown away by the warmth of your entire family. And I know Mom is not here to be a part of that.
She's the extra warmth.
She's the extra warmth. Okay, so we're going to get the warmth of Dad and three kids. And so maybe start off, Jim, if you don't mind. Tell me about Subsea Systems and how it was originated.
Well, I don't want to get too many eye rolls because it goes back a ways. But, you know, I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. My father was an inventor. So I was always around that entrepreneurial spirit and, you know, starting things from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of, that resides in you as you're growing up in that environment. So I started working for my father and did that until I was 25, and he passed. And when he did, then I stayed with the company for a couple of years and decided to do something on my own, which basically we had a business in South Africa. We sold, this is back in 1985.
Okay.
And with that bit of money, we started Subsea Systems.
Nice.
And our pursuit was submarines. So we were all about the oceans and trying to find ways to get people underwater. And submarines were the first pursuit. So
okay, so I described you as warm and innovative. Let's talk about the innovation for a little bit, and then we'll bring in the family, or maybe bring in the family to help talk about the innovation as well. But the underwater cars, which sound like impossible, but tell me about the business. What do you do?
You know, I think just to sum it up as a mission statement, we're trying to create products to get people underwater, to make the oceans accessible. That really is our mission. And so whether it's SeaTrack, which is our helmet diving system, which we've taken out over 3.5 million people with that product.
Oh my God.
Or our semi-subs, which I don't even know how many millions, because we have 24 of those of various sizes that we've produced. We just keep developing more products to make the oceans accessible. We want to share our passion for the oceans. And there's no better way to appreciate the oceans and want to feel like you want to protect it, mm-hmm, and preserve it than to actually enjoy it and see it. And most people never have the ability to go beneath the surface. We always tell people that do SeaTrack, one of the aquariums we're operating in is in Scottsdale, Arizona, and it's only 7 feet deep. But most of our guests have never seen the bottom of their bathtubs. So 7 feet is like the abyss.
Uh-huh.
So we're just really trying to make the oceans accessible, from wheelchair systems to SeaTrack to our subs that we've built over the years, to even our more innovative products more recently, like Aquaticar, which is an underwater driving experience. So
wow. Okay. So I'm going to bring in Hannah DeBee. She is the daughter. And last time we talked, you were running the marketing side of things, and you were on the show with your dad. I would say, was that Scott about 7 years ago? Five, 7 years ago? I know it was pre-COVID. Wow. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
And the one thing about your whole family, this is one thing I noticed when I saw Jim when he came in, and Keenan comes up, Hannah gives me a hug and stuff. And you guys are all in great shape, right? Everybody, this is a great looking family too. So you're warm. You your Kyle's there's, his stomach is like, it probably looks like a washboard. It's so anyway, you guys are all in great shape, and so I want to get into that too. Like, how do you guys look so good? You know, you're so fit, but maybe tell us about the customers, and your dad alluded to it a little bit, the types of people that are using your products, or where we might all be able to go when we're on vacation or something like that and experience the Sub-C products.
Yeah, so it really, honestly, it stems from our family and how much time we enjoy spending together. And now that my brothers and I have kids, there's 6 grandkids total now, and so we like to do things as a big family. Uh-huh. And so all of our products, we try to design them for a wide demographic. So from grandparents all the way down to grandkids, so that the whole family can do it together. So Jim, my dad, mentioned C-Trek earlier. Minimum age for that is 8. And we've taken all the way up to 96 years old, which is, wow, for an underwater product to take that broad of a demographic is unheard of.
So is that the C-Trek, is that, mm-hmm, is that the car?
That's our helmet diving.
That's the helmet. I tried to lift up that one helmet and wait a time.
They're heavy, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's an underwater walking
program.
It's safe, program.
Though. You put that on. The 90-year-old person can put that
96
on.
96 years old.
Immersed in water. So
they don't feel the full weight.
So on land, the helmets weigh 70 pounds, but underwater, they're about 15 pounds. So it's just enough weight to keep you stable walking underwater. But it's amazing. You don't have to know how to swim. Your hair and face remain dry. You can wear glasses, contact lenses. You're just walking underwater, and it's fully guided. We do it in aquariums and open ocean all over the world.
Mm-hmm. And when you say all over the world, your dad touched on something in Scottsdale, Arizona. I know you do a lot of business with cruise lines, so you can go while you're on vacation and make that one of your experiences.
Yeah.
How does that work? And who are these customers?
That's the Caribbean is our largest market. And so those are shore excursion providers. So when cruise lines go to the various ports of call, you know, in Cozumel, St. Lucia, St. Thomas, when guests get off that cruise ship, they want to do something. And so C-Trek is an activity that they can sign up to do in those ports of call throughout the Caribbean. But we're also in the Middle East. We're in China. C-Trek is all over the world.
So it's a revenue stream for the cruise line in that scenario.
It is.
They sell the activity.
Okay. And now we were also talking about movies. So you have some of your products that are in movies. A lot of movies, like Disney movies and things like that.
I think we should let Keenan take that because he's usually on set for those.
What's this about, Keenan?
I don't know why I've been the guinea pig for so many of these different productions. But yeah, so we've...
It's the mullet. He's recognizable on set.
Yes.
Avoidable, easily avoidable. So C-Trek's been featured in a number of different movie, television productions. We've been on the Discovery Channel. We've been on The Bachelor on ABC.
Are you a bachelor, by the way?
No, Lord, married? No. Yes.
Everyone's married.
Yes. Look at the married, okay. Children.
Everybody's
very, very happy. Love you,
babe. Because I'll probably get some calls on this.
Of course. Of course.
I want to make sure I, don't forget your wife.
Yes. Shout out to all of our spouses, incredible partners. So most notably and most recently, we were featured in the latest and the last season of Stranger Things. On Netflix, and we were in the first season of
Coming Soon
as well. Coming soon. As well as what Jim was describing. I'm not sure if you can catch it in the background there, but also in a new Hulu series, which just came out, I think last month or the month before, called Washington Black. So that was put on, that was a Disney production. So another really, really cool
That's
TV
a series, though.
Correct.
So that'll be,
it's a miniseries.
Is your product going to be used in on one episode, or is it over and over, like part of the theme of the show?
I think it's in episode 5.
They do some flashbacks.
So most of the features with that are kind of spots, not necessarily featured in multiple episodes, both in Stranger Things and I believe with Washington Black as well. But some really unique and cool spotlight sort of moments, and to have been able to be on set and just see sort of the whole movie and TV show making production is, it's obviously it's a whole nother world, but a very otherworldly type of experience. And to be such a very small cog in that very big wheel of these productions is pretty unique, just to kind of sit off to the side and see, you know, our product and our hard work featured in something really, really special.
You and I have messaged each other a couple of times, and you're in different countries helping put together I don't know exactly. What do you do exactly? I know it's not just movies.
Oh,
you're
man.
All like putting together the products and making sure that they get assembled on site correctly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So a lot of my work is emphasized on doing field work and all of our field operations and installations. Big emphasis on installations. Kyle as well, most recently with our aquatic car installation in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. So spend a good amount of time in the field. A lot of different countries, a lot of different places, installing our systems and training our staff, mm-hmm. getting them up to speed on operating this equipment.
We've all spent way too much time in Saudi Arabia in the last year.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So obviously there's an appetite and there's, I suppose there's the financial resources to use a use this kind of stuff in resorts out there.
It's just innovation. You know, Saudi is they have this Vision 2030 project that is publicly funded, and they're really trying to become the destination tourist, international tourist destination for the Middle East. Okay. So they have the 2032 or 2030 World Cup games.
World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So between parks and, you know, family entertainment centers and resorts, it's extensive throughout the entire country.
Yeah.
It's billions of dollars that they're spending right now to create tourism and also for their domestic consumption. Everybody leaves Saudi when they want to go on vacation. They go to Dubai or London or Orlando. And so they're trying to actually create destinations for their own 40 million, you know, domestic.
So all four of you have been going out to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle, you go out there too. You're part of putting it all together.
Let's get ready to go again.
Kyle might as well get dual
next week. He's out of here.
What's that? Now tell me about that in terms of, like, you're out there in the field. You all have families with children. Do you have to
FaceTime?
FaceTime. So they don't get to go with you on those trips.
No, I mean, we just did a family trip. We were just in Spain, and we took our spouses, and we did that similar trip. It was a trade show trip that we've had the opportunity to take spouses and children with.
Not me.
Yeah.
Somebody had to
They'll get older. Somebody had to hold down the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, installation trips, no. That's...
How would you describe your role? What do you do besides the installation trips? What do you do around here at Subsea?
Bring stuff to fruition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The devil's advocate, I guess, or the voice of reason.
Well, so when my dad is dreaming up products, then Kyle's the one that has to make them a reality. He has probably the hardest job.
Well, you have the engineering mind too?
He does.
Everybody does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We all do.
Just to help Kyle, he oversees engineering and production. So he's got a big task.
Yeah.
So,
but then Aquaticar, that's been my project really. So I'm coming up on my sixth trip this year for Saudi, not to mention other trips last year. And prior to that, we've been spending a lot of time there setting up this new ride experience and product for us. So it takes a lot of, you know, just time there on the ground to get everything dialed in.
Well, let's talk about the products in more detail, how the design and that kind of thing. We walked through the facility here outside of Placerville, and, you know, I was talking to Jim, and they're saying that you guys source and make a lot of this stuff right here.
Yeah.
And so you're driving the local economy because you're using
or buy American
local stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, our needs are so unique for the components that we use, and we have very specific requirements for our environmental factors that we have to deal with. So getting those parts that we need, and because we're not a large volume producer of products, it takes really specialized people to work with. Mm-hmm. And so we've been really fortunate. I mean, even within our own business park where we operate here, I have, you know, suppliers that we work with, machinists and whatnot, that help get our parts, you know, to us in a timely manner and to the specifications that we require. And then it's great because when we do have, you know, not necessarily issues, but follow-ups and whatnot, we have great accountability for that. So we've got people that we're really close with that we work hand in hand with in that regard that...
I think the big thing, though, is we are a committed Buy American company.
Yeah.
So Buy American products, and we try to produce locally. Yeah. And it takes a lot of effort, and also it's more expensive.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, and nothing that we do is off the shelf.
No. Yeah. Like nothing. I showed you the wheels for Aquaticar.
You make your own wheels. You reinvented the wheel.
Literally. Yeah.
It's crazy. That's amazing. Okay, Hannah, give me a story of a customer experience that really touched you or touched one of the family members that was really inspiring.
I mean, this was more firsthand. Keenan, he's probably going to be mad if I take this
experience. No, you tell it because I'll start crying if I know. It's been all these years.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah.
No.
So far as C-Trek, our helmet diving program, in more recent years, we've developed, it's called Adapted. So it's an underwater wheelchair. So it's guests with limited mobility can actually do C-Trek with friends and family. So they're in a custom wheelchair that's either pushed or pulled with safety divers underwater. They're wearing the C-Trek helmet and they're actually with friends and family on the tour underwater. And so Keenan got to do one of the inaugural first tests of this underwater wheelchair in Mexico with a woman, Anita. She had been in an accident and honestly hadn't been
years prior
in more than a bathtub. And so for her to go underwater with her husband, she just, it was life-changing for her.
Yeah.
It was amazing. So she was a full quadriplegic and hadn't been submerged in anything more than a bathtub in over 25 years since her accident. And so, yeah, we were able to get her in our custom underwater wheelchair, in a C-Trek helmet, and through a beach entry descent was able to cruise underwater with her husband walking alongside her with our safety staff, and take her on a full, a very real and full underwater tour, very much like what anybody else walking doing our normal C-Trek tour would be.
Yeah.
I'm sure she was touched, but what did her husband think? He must have been like to see your wife.
Yeah. He thanked me. In fact, he kept writing like year after she passed, and he kept writing year after year to say how much that changed her life. So it was really.
Yeah, I saw him later that day after that experience, and he said in 25 years he hadn't seen her that happy.
Yeah,
And she actually had very, very limited mobility on her upper body, but underwater she was actually able to move her arm somewhat too. And she never had that sort of freedom since her accident either, just being able to have that latitude and be able to actually kind of somewhat move her arms as well. Yeah,
yeah. So for us, that program, we are trying to grow it. There's an operator in Spain, in an island, Canary Island, called Lanzarote, and he has an underwater wheelchair and he takes a lot of guests out on that program, and it's incredible. And we just more recently added to SeaWorld in Abu Dhabi. They have a wheelchair system and they have a full elevator lift, so it'll take the guests in the wheelchair on like an elevator underwater all the way down to to the walking trail, and then they go with their friends and family. So we're growing that program. Last year we won an award at an industry event. We're members of IAPA. It's a big attractions industry, and we were recognized with an award they call the Impact Award. And so it was the product on the show floor that they felt just resonated and had the most impact in the industry that year. And so that was our Adapted C-Trek program.
What's the biggest challenge that you guys have had in terms of innovating product and product development? Because, you're manufacturing. Mm-hmm. You've obviously, Jim, you've been doing this forever. You guys have been helping and working on this for a long time. But there's got to be times when people ask for something and you have to like solve this new problem. What's been the most difficult problem?
I feel like we create our own problems.
Yeah, we are good at that. I think Kyle needs to start answering.
We have a pretty high level of expectation for ourselves. So it's not just finding a solution to the problem, but then it's taking it to that level of our own expectation and performance that we want out of it. So oftentimes we have to look outside of our industry to get something even relatively close, unless we're completely making it from scratch, to find solutions to.
That's the biggest challenge. Is everything we almost have to create everything.
Sometimes we can come close,
yeah,
but oftentimes it's not made for
underwater
material suitability for the environment, or we're in high UV, all the sunlight we're in as well. It's a really tough environment.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to interject and say one of our latest is we're working with a gentleman who patented this. It's called a bubble pulse gun. So it shoots O-ring bubbles underwater. And so we wanted to use it and apply it to some of our products underwater to gamify different activities. But when we got the product, then we started tinkering with it and realized, well, we could enhance this and make it better. So now we've completely re-engineered and redesigned from the ground up.
Two years later. Yeah, and we have the exclusive on it, but 2 years, and I don't know how much, I don't even want to know how much we've spent on this engineering-wise, but, it's innovation. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to bring all this really exciting new innovation. And being underwater, it's just really a challenge. So that is our biggest challenge, is you know, we're having to create everything.
Is there a product roadmap, or do you have like 100 ideas that are sort of like, well, not now, we got to sell duplicate, I guess.
I don't know, Dad, what did you dream about last night?
It costs money to invent it.
It does.
Absolutely.
It does. And we, you know, we've self-financed everything. Yeah. We're a debt-free company. So I think I don't sleep much. That's probably one of the big issues.
You work out, though. We'll get into that, though. I can tell you. Get up and work out. You can't sleep.
I guess so. That's probably true, too. I think that's the stress relief. You know, it's family, it's your business, and your health. Yeah, yeah. It's those three juggling acts. But we have new products we're working on right now. A lot of it we're doing in collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this, you know, we have this latest product, which... I don't know if you've seen these cable parks that tow guests doing wakeboarding.
Oh, yeah. I've done that before.
And skiing.
Yeah.
So the primary builder is out of Germany called Rixen.
Okay.
And I've had this concept for a few years about a towed snorkel experience. So it's using a foil wing. It's like ailerons. You can steer yourself underwater, and you're being towed
at what speed?
Less than a mile per hour.
Okay, so you were nice and slow. Yeah.
Nice and slow, but it's a whole themed trail. That mm-hmm. now you're just holding on to this wing, this foil.
Is it virtual reality?
No, like it's real.
Because one of your products is a virtual reality.
Yeah.
You put the mask on and go in a pool.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
No, this product, there hasn't really been that much innovation in snorkeling since snorkeling was introduced. I mean, latest would be maybe the full face snorkel masks. But beyond that, we haven't really seen much innovation in that activity. And so we're calling it Snorkel Drift. It's basically... turning snorkeling into a fully themed ride. And so guests will go through this themed environment, storytelling, really a lot of excitement.
Okay, so they're like swimming pools or man-made lakes.
They're like lagoons,
Yes, it's and so then
fresh
they,
water, salt water.
Inside the lake, there's the themed stuff is put in there. So you get pulled alongside something inside this
lake. So you'll be seeing, visuals, special effects. Maybe there'll be like bubble releases that you'll feel as you go over it. You know, it'll be a full immersive experience, all while snorkeling.
And is the plan to put those in water parks that currently exist alongside the wakeboarders or maybe somewhere in a adjacent water, lagoon, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I think the main thing is slides, fiberglass slides, mm-hmm. have pretty much saturated the marketplace. Or, you know, slide parks are pretty much in every town. So
for water parks.
For water parks, water slides. Water slides.
Yeah.
And so you can see there's still some expanded innovation going into these water parks like Lazy Rivers and Flume Rides. And we're taking it to a whole nother level, to the point where it's actually infill attractions that the stakeholders, the owners of these parks, can create and offer something that generates additional revenue. Mm-hmm. It's more of an exclusive experience. So it combines with all of our products. We have, you know, layouts and park designs that combine Aquaticar, this system, mm-hmm. with SeaTrack, with our Snorkel Drift, with our VR snorkeling system, our Dive Bell. All these are in a park that's about a 3 to 4 hour experience. And so we have enough products now that we could actually create our own park. And so we're doing that right now. We're designing. We have one in Dubai. We're under construction. And we have more that we're getting proposals out.
You're creating your own park.
It's the section of a water park,
mm-hmm.
that has an exclusive area that is our products. And we designed the layout of it. And it combines our VR snorkeling with... our SeaTrack system and a snorkel trail.
So there's all kinds of things they can do. It's not just one option. There's several options because you have a lot of product.
And it's premium, you know, so it's a premium charge for the guests, but it also feels more exclusive, mm-hmm. because it's limited capacity.
And do your clients want exclusivity? Like, let's say one...
Not really.
They're not asking for that.
No, they don't really ask for that. We don't offer it.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
Well, it's not like I have traveled a little bit, not a lot, but I've never had it offered to me before other than texting, I think, with you back 5-7 years ago. You have a product that works in Cabo, I guess, that you were saying, hey, I can help you get this in Cabo because I go to Cabo all the time. But other than that, I've never really had anybody try to sell it to me.
Yeah.
I guess I am not hanging out the right place.
It could be. You're more of an independent traveler, you know. It's when you're on these organized cruise ships.
Okay.
They're really pitching the shore excursion desks on these cruise ships are pitching shore excursions prior to arriving to the ports.
Gotcha.
So that's where they sell Sea trout.
Predominantly in the Caribbean because it's got the right weather for being in the water, the warmth of the water, and so on.
Exactly. Perfect.
Yeah. I mean, we're in aquariums. I think we're in nearly 20 aquariums worldwide. So those are year round. Wow. And that's just allowing guests to go beyond observing from the dry side of acrylic windows. They're actually getting into the water, doing this immersive interaction, which from a educational standpoint, we're more focused on entertainment, but we really like the, you know, the approach that you can educate through entertainment. Mm-hmm. It's much harder to try to entertain through education. So we just sort of inverse the approach.
Mm-hmm. How fast is that underwater car go?
This system we have in Saudi Arabia is about 5 minutes underwater and it covers about 315 feet.
Okay, so you're going 2 or 3 miles an hour?
It's almost like if you were a comfortable walking.
That's 70 feet per minute. Okay. It's really a comfortable, it's like a slow walk.
And it's on a track, so you can't steer it wherever you want.
Well, it's not affixed to the roadway, though. So it's independent, and it can move between the confines of the track itself. Yeah, it's not actually physically.
Sort of like Autotopia at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you steer within the track, but not outside of it.
Yep.
It's curbed.
Gotcha. I want to go around. What is your favorite, I was going to call it a ride. What do you guys call it? Not a ride.
Of all of our products?
Of all your products, yeah. What's your favorite product to use? Yeah, your favorite experience out of all your products. You have some that, like one that's like your best?
I personally love Sea Trek, but to call it a specific location in...
And Sea Trek's the one where...
The helmet diving.
VR.
Yeah. I like it because my hair stays dry, so that's
it's
nice.
It's a helmet walking experience.
Yeah,
it's
a helmet walking
experience. Yes.
So we have a location in Dubai at Atlantis, and it's our deepest location in the world, and it's in their ambassador...
Lagoon
exhibit.
Chambers Aquarium.
Yeah. And so you're going down 30 feet in the aquarium with Sea Trek. And when you look up and these massive animals are swimming around you and you can see the light trickling through from the surface, it's
And these are the
incredible.
Real animals.
Oh, yeah. And you're also on
it's
stage.
Amazing. I love it.
A lot of people watching you.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm biased towards Sea Trek, too.
Sea Trek, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have so many amazing locations, too. And each one is very unique to itself, whether it be open ocean or an aquarium environment. You know, the marine life, the operator, the staff. Mm-hmm. There's so many factors to our Sea Trek locations that make them very special and very unique. A lot of them have to do with the staff, too. We always tell our staff that they're about 90% of the tour, just in their interactivity, how comfortable they make guests feel, sort of the entertainment
factor. Are they in the water with the
clients,
and then there's communication between helmets, or no?
So we use hand signals underwater. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yep. But there's the pre, you know, there's the briefing before, and most of our guides are local. They're from, you know, the area, so they kind of bring a different element or angle to it, that they're not just brought in professionals. They're actually part of the community and they are sharing their own beautiful world, you know.
What's your favorite one, Jim?
Well, I have to say Aquaticar.
Okay.
Because this is our latest.
That looks like it's my speed. Utopia of Disneyland, I can drive that one.
I tell you what I love about it is the fact that you can share that experience, like with your grandkid.
Oh, two people go in the car.
Two people on it. Sea Trek, it's one, you know, it's a helmet, it's individual. So you're not really able to communicate with each other. You can see
the age limit on that 9 as well?
This is like 5. It's like a theme park ride system. It's a certain height limit. So this is an amazing experience. It's the very first storytelling theme park type ride system to go into a water park, which is called Aquarabia in Saudi Arabia outside of Riyadh. So this is very fascinating. It's very innovative. So we have a worldwide patent on this. We're actually using bubbles to propel it. As a car's traveling on the track, we're releasing air into the car. We capture it. It feeds these two rotors in the back. So we're just using the uplift force of bubbles to turn the rotors, and that propels it.
That's amazing. Kyle, okay, what's your favorite one to experience? You probably have a favorite one to make.
Right? Well, I don't think that's his favorite right now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'm getting tired of looking at that one. No, not really. I mean, this one brought a ton of just pure satisfaction in getting, you know, really, that was a soup to nuts development, build, install, and get operable. So that's been really special, really unique. Sea Trek's a lot of fun because my kids are able to experience it, and obviously in the family environment. I mean, just my daughter in the swimming pool, you know, at home is an absolute riot. She's quite
young. How old is she?
She's five now.
She started
slightly
three.
Underage. Three, yeah.
It's a little underage.
Special circumstances.
She looked like just a like a space ball, you know, like Rick Moranis walking around with this giant helmet on.
And you don't do any sales to the general public, though. Like, so you don't like, yeah, you don't like somebody wanted to buy one that was wealthy.
Done outfitting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We actually sold some yachts.
What's kind of interesting? Okay. This aquatic car system was chosen by the Crown Prince. And he also has one of the world's largest yachts, which has Sea Trek on board. But we had put Sea Trek on that yacht before he had acquired it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting, the people of influence that you have in your life.
We never meet them, though.
Oh, okay.
It's like, well, they actually said, I guess MBS wanted to be there for the first ride on the aquatic car system. It has a soft opening coming at the end of this month.
No pressure.
Yeah, and the project manager said, Jim, you know, you're going to be here when
Kyle's
Crown Prince is going to do it. I'm thinking, no, I'm not. I'm not going to be there for that. So.
No, please don't. No.
Okay, so we've talked a little bit about innovation. We've talked a little bit about, well, one more thing on the marketing side. So I know that you've done trade shows, or that's something that you do on some kind of regular basis, but how do you attract customers and, you know, grow the business, build the business?
So primarily we're B2B, and where we do that is at trade shows, face to face. So the most, the largest portion of our spend budget is into trade shows, and we do them all over the world. We have one in Europe, Asia, Middle East, and here domestically every year. We're at least doing those four regions every year. So it's a pretty big investment to do these shows.
That's cool.
And word of mouth, too.
Yeah, word of mouth, I would assume, yeah.
I think the big thing for us is, and this is, you know, as we've added more attractions or guest experiences, is working with the design firms that are actually doing the master planning, you know, when these stakeholders. Yeah, so when they come to these, there's about six or seven of them that are really large in the, around the world. And so we've been introducing our products, and now they're introducing it to the stakeholders, because they come to you and say, what can we put in this park that's innovative, new, latest? And we've been able to penetrate that market, which is great. And we're starting to be put into the master planning. If you don't
developing our own.
Yeah. And if you're not there in the master planning, you know, you're in phase two, 10 years down the road or whatever. So
interesting. Okay. So about, it was pre-COVID. You guys, let's say you were on the show 7 years ago. I'm kind of like going off the top of my head. Then I get the call from the Family Business Association, and they said, Mark, are there any family businesses that you know that might be interesting to come on a panel and talk or do some kind of speaking? So your family instantly came to mind. I interviewed you on site. I think that's when you met my wife, Stacy.
Yeah, we had a good time
at their big annual conference.
Yeah.
Are you? And then you joined the Family Business Association. Yes. Are you still a member of the Family?
Yes. We are.
Very involved.
We have
Keenan
and I
next week.
Yeah, we'll do Bishops, which we love that event.
Yes. Yeah. Shout out to them.
Yeah,
Bishops. We were just there the other night. That's another.
Love
we
that
had
place.
We got one of those barbecue areas or not?
Fire pit areas.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Yeah, those are super cool people.
Yeah,
and Keenan and I
location.
Try to do the Generations Conference every year and just stay up to date. We've actually taken a lot of the tips and things we've learned there and applied it to our own business. For example, we're almost done with a full succession planning and agreement that as a family we've developed and trying to set the roadmap for future generations.
That's really cool. So what, maybe just walk me through what that, could you walk me through what that looks like?
Yeah, I mean, we heard so many horror stories about families breaking up over this kind of thing, and we really want to avoid that and avoid it for our own kids, for Gen 3. And so I said to my dad, you know, put your wishes.
Podcast.
Yeah, there's a fly.
All right. Come on.
Can we cut this one?
Come on.
Oh, damn it, Kyle. I know. All right.
Anyways. Action.
Scott.
So I asked my dad to put his wishes down on paper. And then, you know, from there we said, okay, we should maybe formalize this a little bit more. So we brought in an outside individual that's helped us kind of structure this in a legal way. And then between the three kids, we've had our input and talking about everything from, you know, God forbid something happens to one of us, what does it look like with a spouse? How does shares transfer to the next gen? Mm-hmm. Trying to lay out all of these stepping stones.
Those must have been a lot of detail or like discussions that are like, wow, what?
They're kind of heavy.
Was it hard to get?
It's heavy. Yeah, it's all pretty heavy.
People dying or even maybe a divorce.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys wouldn't ever have
that. But we still have to have those.
Yeah, you have to like what if a little bit. And you're like some of that what ifing can be like worst case scenario.
You see the statistics like the likelihood of a family business continuing through the third generation from first goes down to like 14% or some crazy statistic. And so if we want to sustain this and keep it going, I'm hoping we're setting ourselves up for success by laying this foundation.
And I think we've all seen and know and heard stories well enough too that, you know, that's a little bit to bite off now and think about, but boy, it beats having to do it at the time.
Generations, I think, has taught us a lot about that.
It's okay to take a little time to plan versus dive into the business, innovate, sell stuff. Mm-hmm. Wait, we have to decide what our future looks like.
Yeah.
And especially as they get into G4, G5, mm-hmm. God forbid, G6 and on, that's when you start to hear these horror stories.
I took it through G3 and that's it. Yeah. They're going to have to, I'll be gone. They'll have to figure that one out.
As these family businesses have really grown and some of these big companies that have come out to the Generations Conference, like Vermeer was one of them that I remember, the waters get incredibly muddied as you grow that family and more spouses and more non-family members start to get involved. It gets ugly.
What areas were you not aligned on? Is there anything that you guys are not aligned on that you kind of had to come together with, or you just had to kind of like hash it out?
It's kind of the theme of our family. It's kind of my wishes, really, my wife, you know, because this is our business that we're handing down. So for me, it was just trying to maintain the lineage, you know, that it stays in the family. And that's why the difficult topics are in case of divorce or death. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want uninvited family members to also become shareholders that really don't have an interest. So
what did you and your wife see everything eye to eye?
She kind of deferred to me, you know, and then I obviously through Generations, we deferred to experts who could guide us through it. But it is complicated and you got to talk about it. It's like, you know, it's like planning for a divorce. I guess you need to anticipate that a little bit if things aren't working.
Yeah, especially
harder after
something that's going so well.
Yeah,
it makes so much sense to preserve it. Mm-hmm. You talked about entrepreneurship. This is an entrepreneurial company, and is that part of the that can get lost in generations where the third and fourth generation just don't have the entrepreneurial mindset? Maybe they had a lot given to them and those kind of things where you didn't start from scratch and then, you know, somebody else is, you know, maybe feel entitled, right? You don't know how people are going to feel when they've, you know, just got out of college or something. They may come out, you know, feeling like they're entitled.
The grind can get lost.
Yeah. It's a different perspective too when you're building a company to sell it versus building a company to preserve it. That legacy mentality is much different than thinking you're just going to build a cell, you know, do a quick turn.
Yeah.
And so my thought has always been, you know, how do I come up with or work with these guys to come up with more long-term legacy projects that have legs that can go for 10, 20 years. So that's what we're doing. I mean, we're really creating products that, for instance, C-Trek, we started in 1999 and it's gotten stronger and stronger. Our operations are getting bigger. Yeah. And so we have to keep thinking in those terms because it is a family business that we want to sustain, not a quick turn sell and be gone.
So you have your kids using the product in the pool. Is it Kyle?
Kyle's.
His kids are so young.
So I'm wondering, because we talk about this around our house too, right? We live on this family compound. We were talking about that earlier. And half the time I'm worried that my kids are going to kill each other or something like that. So we don't have quite as much ease in on that stuff. But I sort of wonder about that because we are a close family and how you make that happen. We thought that that would happen by proximity, right? So you all work together and you kind of have this proximity thing that at least the four of you have.
Yeah.
Does everybody live close and make it really easy to have family dinner kind of thing?
Yeah, okay. So Kyle's the closest to the office here. Yeah. And then we kind of spread out from there. I'm the furthest away.
How far are you?
El Dorado Hills.
It's great.
But we do. It's funny. We see each other obviously during the week, and then on the weekends we'll want to get like the kids together to play, all the cousins. All the
cousins like to play together.
But then at the same time, we're like, we just saw you all week. Maybe we need a little like separate time.
Do you have rules? Like, let's not talk about, you know, Aquaticar or where we had family dinner, or you guys like whatever.
Unavoidable.
What we care about. We talk about what we care about.
Yeah. I always laugh because I always tell my friends, I say, you know, I'm one of the parents that my kids can't wait to not see me on the weekends.
That's awesome. And where do you guys converge when you go see each other? Do you do it at your house, Jim, or is it?
We share like holiday responsibilities and whatnot, so we mix it up.
Yep. We find our local watering hole.
Yeah. We got a few of those.
You know, it's and it is amazing. I feel blessed because these guys all get along so well, and that's a rarity. Well, family businesses either work or they're you know.
Interesting that they all get along. I mean, impressive that that's the better word, very impressive. Yeah. What did you and your wife do to, I guess, foster that sort of dynamic within their relationships?
Gosh, that's a good question. I think that their natural, this just their personalities developed into very clear defined roles within the company, and they didn't overlap. I mean, they overlap like in a working way.
What about like his kids? Were they similar? Because when I was a kid, my brother and I didn't. I had two brothers and a sister, and if one of them, we're all 1 year apart, and if one of us wasn't getting along, my mom would put us together and we would fight. She would actually have us fight.
Oh yeah, same with my brother.
Like, it was like, hey, look, okay, that'll teach you, won't it?
Exactly.
You know, get your ass kicked by your brother and you learn real quick.
Yeah.
How did you guys do that? Because
we've got a bit of a spread.
Yeah.
We have a spread.
I think that's part of it. There's seven years between Keenan and I.
Okay.
Kyle and I are closest in age, but I think just because boy and a girl. I mean, we never really
you're the middle
fought.
Child.
Yeah, kind of.
I was didn't a surprise.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Also, I mean, I work for my dad, but I was expected to work for my dad. So I didn't want to really have a situation where they felt forced. Hannah, she was the one who was most committed early on. I mean, from junior high school, she knew what she wanted to do, went through college, got her degrees, exactly what would help the company. Mm-hmm. Kyle, thought he was going to maybe go off into firefighting, so I wasn't sure he was going to join, and he did come. And then Keenan, you know, he was our tough child growing up.
What was the craziest thing Keenan did as a kid?
Oh my God. All I can say, let me just.
This is where I exit the podcast, Mark.
I'll put it to you this way. One of his arms longer than the other because he's been dragged out of more restaurants and stores than any child I know of. Screaming, kicking. He was just an unhappy child. I was thinking,
He needed to find his outlet, which became rugby. And so that got a lot of life.
Oh, it's been a blessing. But at first I said, Keenan, you know, you need to go work for somebody else and abuse them before you abuse your father. So.
Go through some basic
but he talked me into it. He talked me into it, and awesome. You know, it's amazing. But they all have their own really individual roles in the company. They all have to work together, but they don't conflict with each other.
That's got to help in terms of you know, people have like full responsibility for one aspect of the company. You know, that's got to feel good. So you're not having you have to work together, but you don't. You maybe not. It doesn't lend itself to disagreement when you have your own stuff that you have to handle.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's, I think if anything, that's really strong with our family is that we have a real shared common goal. I mean, we really team up to address and tackle whenever we have challenges. We come together like nobody I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
So that's really powerful. And that's something that you rarely find in a family business.
I think a lot of that too stem though. I mean, because we all are pretty independently, you know, capable people, but that's always kind of been how we brought up and the expectation. If you have an issue, figure it out.
Who was tougher on you, mom or your dad?
Mom.
I know. Well, mom.
I was the one traveling a lot.
Yeah.
So I come home and it's like, yeah, dad's home. I was just there.
She's a strong
woman. She wasn't the type of one that says, wait till your father gets home. She's, well, I'm handling this.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Honestly, I think any like well brought up and well organized family that probably you're your own worst person, right? Because you understand the consequences you just unleashed on yourself.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
You should.
Yeah.
Mom knew how to put down the hammer.
When you got in trouble as a kid, like what would be a consequence? Like what's the worst consequence you ever got into? I got grounded for a whole summer 1 year.
Oh, wow.
And I was in like eighth grade, which...
Man.
Yeah, I don't have any excuses, but
I remember, for you, Keen. You must have said a swear word or something, and mom didn't have a bar of soap
I can close my eyes.
So she had pump soap, and she
pumped soap into my mouth.
That's great. That's legal, right? That's
yeah, I think so.
Hey, those are lessons. Yeah, those are lessons right there.
I don't know.
It's ingrained in my memory.
We would get grounded and
They were pretty good. They were pretty good. I mean, there was no really.
I think that starts, and you guys are probably going through this now with your kids. A lot of that starts at the very youngest ages, how they have to deal with, you know, when they fall down and get hurt and, you know, figuring it out, that kind of thing.
And I think like you, Mark, too, I think the key for to raise kids where they have a great responsibility and appreciation for life is keep them busy. Work, do things, show them how to do things. So between sports and, you know, I was always a do-it-yourself around the house. These guys are always helping me. It was just constant. There was no downtime. They never were into playing video games. So I think that that's probably one of the keys is just the fact that we are very busy. We had a busy life, always very productive.
Yeah, because you can learn a lot. You mentioned sports. You can learn so much through sports around resilience and so on, sportsmanship, obviously.
And Keenan was a rugby player. He was an All-American for ASU. And there isn't probably a sport like rugby where it relies so heavily on the team.
Yeah, that's a rough sport too, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely teaches grit.
I've been to the emergency room a couple of times.
Yeah. All American at ASU. ASU's a party school, though, huh? My son went there for one
year. Yes, Mark.
For 1 year.
Do continue.
And then he joined the Marine Corps after that.
There you go.
You know, maybe I'm not. You know. Maybe I'm getting into this.
He partied hard, and then he got hard in the Marine Corps, man.
For sure.
It's a good time. It still is.
I love it. Okay, so I promised to talk about fitness. I see Jim when I walk in. I'm like, okay, how old are you, Jim?
I'm 67.
Okay. Yeah. You are ripped, dude. I mean, 67-year-old man. I was going to say maybe 60. Yeah. Okay. So if you're watching, this is where you got to watch it on YouTube. If you're watching, listen to this on a podcast, you need to get off of this and go watch this on YouTube. This guy is like a specimen.
Mark.
No, I'm sitting here going, damn, I forgot. It's been a while since I've seen you. And
You're going to coax the Sydney Sweeney out of him. Careful.
But the whole family's in shape. The whole family's attractive.
Chasing grandkids all the time.
Yeah, okay. That keeps
you work a lot. I mean,
we do.
We've got property and stuff, and it's just
Yeah. Now you say property. You guys each have different. Obviously, you don't live on the same property. Right?
Yeah. No, that would be a goal, though.
I'd love to get
You should come over and check out all our things we love. And, you know,
twist the arm.
My wife's sitting over here. There's nothing we would do different, is it? It's the most magical place on earth outside Disneyland. Stuff in Dubai.
Are your kids on the property as well?
Yeah, the kids are on the property. 7 grandkids. And so a great night for me might be something like we're having a bonfire similar to what they have out at the pumpkin patch. Yeah. And, you know, the grandkids come down and my wife and I are down there throwing fetch to one of the dogs.
Love it.
And then everybody starts coming, trickling in and, you know, making food over the fire and all that.
I mean, that's a dream. Our challenge has been, you know, do we stay in California? We feel like that. Unfortunately, you hate to think that you're thinking outside of California, but I'd love to get a big piece of land and centralize a company and have the properties around with all of us together.
It would be great. Sure. And I, my kids, with their kids, they're committed to living here and raising the kids here with their situation. So we're probably not going anywhere.
I don't think
we're
either.
And I grew up here too.
We're fifth generation California.
Oh, okay.
So I think we're here.
I think there's a is there a part of me? So I had Kelly Brothers on the show. You guys know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And he was, you know, he was talking about people leaving California and, you know, all the reasons why you might want to do that.
Right.
And I pretty much said, I'm here to stick it out and make it better.
Yeah.
Stem the tide. Maybe there's a pendulum change and, you know, a sea change, if you will, in the way that we approach not only business, but a lot of even some of the values that are seeming to be taught in a lot of the schools. I think we can correct it. I think there's
hope so.
There's a lot of normal people and great people here in California. And there's a lot of really, I think, especially out here where you live, and I live in Placer County, I think there's still a lot of old-fashioned values and stuff.
There is.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Especially in Eldorado County as well.
And we've been really fortunate. I mean, we're a small team here, but our employees are almost like family, we'd say, and we all have shared values, which is wonderful. And we've tried to even bring on younger staff who are interested in building a skill set in manufacturing so that we can kind of train them and build their skill set.
Yeah, and if you think about the long term, the innovative mindset, there's a lot of talent in this.
Not only
in El Dorado Hills, Placer County, but you know, we're not yet from the Valley.
Yeah.
It's like this stuff, there's going to be a lot of AI integrated into making entertainment type experiences, you know, cool. And that innovation is never going to stop. And I think we're so close in proximity to a lot of the talent that's going to be driving a lot of that innovation. So in terms of like where your kids might want to take it or where you guys might want to take it, shoot, it's not the worst place in the world from, sharing imaginative ideas.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're here. We've kind of looked and thought, but...
You heard it here first.
I just think, you know, California has so much to offer, and that's unfortunately the abuse that's, you know, we end up paying the price because it's such a wonderful place to live between Tahoe and the ocean and everything we have.
Well, but, as one of those people that is, you know, I'm trying to ignite an entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love.
Yeah. Congratulations, you're doing it.
Well, you know, we all do our part. Everybody's a part of that who's building a business here in Sacramento. And, you know, the reason I started the show is so that I could share stories that inspired other people. And so I want to thank you for being such an inspirational story. This is what it's all about. If you don't really realize, if all you do in media is turn on and listen to politics, it's like you can kind of get a skewed vision of negativity, but there's really a lot of positive things happening. And if you could get your mind thinking about positive things, I mean, you're going to be a lot more likely to build something special in your life like what you have done. Yeah. So
completely agree with you there.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll give you guys the last word. Anything I didn't ask you that maybe I should have that, you know, a message we should get out? And I'll go around. We'll start. Well, let's let Jim go back for last.
Start with Kyle.
Yeah. Start with Kyle.
Okay, Kyle, you first. I ask you? What message do we want to get out?
Words
of wisdom, anything?
I mean, from us as just being a family business and from our perspective, it's just the stick to a togetherness, right, they say. And, you know, learn on where you can lean on each other and don't take too offensive.
No egos.
All right, Keita, you want to go? No egos? Okay.
No, I just like your shirt, which I want really bad.
No, everything is figured out.
I feel like that's sort of our, you know,
that's right. I forgot to bring that.
Scott, my man.
Yeah, Scott's got you covered.
I feel like your shirt, and ever since I saw it, that's sort of like our mantra as a family and as a business, just with everything that we do. You know, everything is figure outable, whether it's, you know, our own individual families, our collective family, and our business. I feel like that's sort of our mantra that we go into every day with, which is why I thought when I first saw you with that shirt, I was like, that's it. And I think we work so hard to make sure that we, you know, collectively figure everything out that we can as efficiently and effectively as possible. But, you know, there's nothing that we can't figure out.
You may not have heard me say this before, but with enough inspired action, with enough stick-to-itiveness, and with enough imagination, everything is figure outable. So I just think you need to have the right ingredients to go into it. And a lot of times that's the stick-to-itiveness, which you obviously have. So.
Yeah. I think just hearing your responses made me think kind of on the other side of the spectrum is to always have fun too. Sometimes you can get so weighed down in the day to day, but here we try, even working through that, we also try to have a lot of fun. Like we prank each other all the time. We have a lot of jokes. We laugh all the time here. Yeah. And it just brings some levity to it. I mean, that's what life is about. You should have fun. And so we're doing that every
day. I think
day.
That's a big part of our family strength. We
laugh.
We like to laugh.
We laugh a lot.
We laugh away a lot of problems and struggles and tough situations we can work through with a little bit of laughter. Makes it a lot easier,
that's
too.
That's for I sure. provide a lot of fodder for that.
Kyle's usually quick responses and the one-liners.
Oh, okay. Okay, so how about we give you the last word, Jim?
Gosh. You know, I think, and you know, as an entrepreneur, in business, it's easy to be weighed down by the challenges, the negatives, you know, and a lot of people can't handle it. They walk away from it. And I think for us, it's just been this determination of just keep moving forward. I always tell the kids, I don't have a rearview mirror. You have to live looking forward, not looking back. And that's really what we focus on. So, I mean, if there's a message.
Learning from our any mistakes, you know, in that sense.
Yeah, but you just can't dwell on it.
Yeah.
You know? It can't consume you to the point where if you fail to keep progressing forward. So, you know, I mean, as a maybe a message in business, as you know, like we're in similar businesses. Being entrepreneurs is challenging. It's very easy to, you could see easier ways to go about life possibly. And I love the fact that we've created something that's not only making our guests, the people who are participating using our products happy, we're exposing them to a thing that we have a lot of passion for, which is the oceans. But we also have a lot of people working for us. I mean, if you look at our guides worldwide, we have 400 or 500 guides that are just on Sea Trek alone.
500, I think.
And so we're providing employment around the world. And in some of these Caribbean islands, we're actually taking kids who are, you know, basically net fishing small fish off the reefs and destroying the reefs and taking them off that, teaching them to become a Sea Trek guide. Now they're out there, they're preserving it, they're talking about it, and they're telling their friends, don't do this. This is part of what we're trying to show, this underwater beauty. So there's a lot of real big pluses from what we do, and it gives us a lot of satisfaction.
I love it.
Well, fills the cup.
Yeah. Well, this is the Mayfield family, Subsea Systems, one of Sacramento's gems in terms of entrepreneurship. And I think in terms of just a business and a family that that we can all look up to. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you.
Appreciate much.
And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage. And of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.